Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Leviticus with Pastor Dave. In today's study, in the book of Leviticus, Pastor Dave will be taking us through chapter 10, starting in verse 1, ending in verse 20, where Pastor Dave brings up the point that there is comfort in talking to someone who can relate to you in a time of trial. In today's text, we'll see that Jesus is acquainted with every sorrow that we have, and he relates to every pain that we have experienced. He truly is a God who cares. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Leviticus chapter 10.
And I'm the God of the mountaintops. Okay, Lord, I'm going to glorify you in this. If anything else, it would be a great sermon story. Thank you. He knows when we need him to speak to us, doesn't he? No wonder why in John 10 it says that my sheep hear and they know my voice. Because we've all heard it from time to time, haven't we? Maybe not an audible voice. I will not proclaim that I've heard that. But we know when his spirit impresses something on our hearts and what is said, what is spoken through our devotion or through the teacher, the preacher, the radio guy, we know that was just for us. And there's nothing like that, is there, saints? When God speaks something to you, there is no ecstasy like that. There is no excitement like that. There is nothing that excites me more than when I get a word from the Lord. And the Lord, who's experienced the heartbreak of losing his son, speaks to a father who just lost his two boys. Talk about a God of compassion. Talk about a God who can relate to every sorrow and every trial that we've ever been through. Hey, did you know that tonight before we move through the rest of this text? That Jesus is acquainted with all of your sorrows? Every single area that you've been tempted in, he's been tempted in. He walked this earth for some 33 years. He's been burned by a buddy before. He's been let down by somebody he put his expectation in before. He's been done wrong before. He's been backstabbed before. He relates to every pain and every bit of sorrow that you have ever experienced and are presently experiencing right now. He's lost loved ones before. He's experienced death and sickness before. I believe he would say to you tonight that he knows what you're going through. He can relate. And there's something very comforting about talking to somebody who can relate to what you're going through, isn't there? I mean, when I could talk to somebody about something that I'm going through, it's nice to vent sometimes and have their ear, but it's altogether different when they can, after I've paused, look me in the eyes and say, I've been through something similar to that. Here's my story, and their story parallels my story almost to a T. It does something to your soul, doesn't it? That's what your God, if it's Jesus Christ tonight, can do with you. I get it. I hear, I understand you. So many times I can only say to my wife, I hear you. Not even I'm always listening to you. I can hear you at least. But I don't know what in the world you're talking, where you're coming from. I don't know what you're talking about. But God says, I can understand you. I'm listening attentively to you. I've been there. The Lord spake unto Aaron. And he gave him this very important word, which will be our last point of tonight's message. And I'm not going to skip it. Do not drink wine, nor strong drink. In other words, don't be intoxicated. You or your sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, notice, lest you die. It shall be, it says, a statute forever throughout your generations. Do not be drinking and do not be drunk when you're serving the Lord. I believe that is a word for us today just as much as it was for Aaron and his boys thousands of years ago. I don't care what any popular pastor or teacher says, or what a movement is embracing. I only care about what the Bible says in the Bible stance. The Bible says right here, more explicitly what God says right here is he does not want us to be drinking or to be drunk when we are serving the Lord. I believe this is a word for every servant at Calvary Chapel of the West Side. I do not think that this is just a word that should be spoken at a pastor's conference and just for the elders and pastors of a church, because we are told not to be giving ourselves to any bit of alcohol. I believe that this is for the servants of the church here at Calvary Chapel of the West Side. I believe that the Lord wants me to make this point loud and clear that we are not to be giving ourselves to drunkenness or even to drinking at all when we are in the service of the Lord. It's a serious issue, drinking, intoxication, alcohol in the United States of America. Over $50 billion a year annually is spent on alcoholic beverages. And we are in an economic slump. Over $50 billion a year. For every drug addict, per one drug addict, there are 15 alcoholics. One out of every 15 people who take a sip of a drink for the first time becomes an alcoholic. A few statistics on this. Among the sobering statistics about alcohol consumption in the U.S., in 2010, 211 children were killed in drunk driving crashes. Out of those 211 deaths, 131, which for those of you who are interested, that's 62%, were riding with a drunk driver. Also, adults who drank too much and got behind the wheel amounted to 112 million times, and that's 3 years ago. That is almost 300,000 incidents of drinking and driving each day, according to the Center of Disease Control and Prevention. Perhaps one of the most revealing statistics about the harm of alcohol abuse is that 3 out of every 4 convicted jail inmates were involved in alcohol or drugs at the time of their current offense, according to the statistics cited on the faith-based recovery website, MartyAngelo.com. 3 out of every 4 inmates, there was some type of relation to alcohol at their arrest. I'm making a point here. There's something that I want to be said. Drinking will never, ever make anything better. It will only make things worse. The Bible is full of examples of that. There's many illustrations of drunkenness in the Bible, and each illustration is an illustration of disaster. Just to name a few, Noah, he became drunk, and in his nakedness, he acted shamelessly. You remember that event. Lot, he became drunk, and his daughters committed incest with him. Belshazzar in Daniel chapter 5 had a drunken feast, a festival, and he worshiped his false gods, and that very night he lost his kingdom. Many people are losing their kingdoms, their families, their careers, their ministries, and their lives because of drinking. Over $50 billion a year in this industry. God says, if you're going to serve me, if you're going to represent me, then be ye being filled with the Spirit of God, perfect present tense, and do not be drunk with wine. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, if you read it this morning, the first verse said this, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. In the New Living Translation, it renders it this way, wine produces mockers, alcohol leads to brawls. Those led astray, or the NASB puts it, intoxicated by drink, cannot be wise. Proverbs 31, the book of wisdom, verse 4, says this, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law. There's ramifications. You drink, your mind becomes tainted. You're not as sharp. You're not as discerning. You obviously don't know what you're doing as well as you do when you're sober. And he says in this instance, spiritually speaking, you pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink to those that perish and wine to those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. But folks, our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in Jesus. A Budweiser or Jack Daniels should not be our crutch. Jesus Christ should be. And if you're teaching our children, if you're ushering at the doors, if you're serving in the sound ministry, if you're in any capacity of ministry in this fellowship, and if one of my elders here tonight, if you disagree with me, feel free to raise your hand, but I feel very strongly that in your service, you should not be coming here after you've been drinking or if you are drunk. Do you have the liberty to have a drink? Absolutely. I cannot sit here tonight and say to you that you do not have the grace to have a glass of red wine before you go to bed or at dinner in the privacy of your home. That's between you and God. I have a strong conviction not to do so. Reason being, I have three little mini-me's at home that watch every single thing that I do, and more is caught than taught by them in my life. And I can't think of one good thing that comes from drinking a glass of red wine or having a beer and them watching me and seeing me do that. Well, it's good for my heart. There's a lot of good things for my heart, and there's a lot of good things that bad things for my heart, and I do those things still too. You see, that's an excuse so many times. An excuse is a lie in disguise. If I'm going to serve the Lord, if I'm going to be a representative of the Lord, the standards are raised. The standards are higher. Paul said, yes, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Yeah, I have the liberty to do certain things, but what I do sometimes isn't always edifying. Well, what if I don't have a conviction, Pastor? What if I'm not on schedule that week and I'm at Black and Blue having a nice steak and I want to have a drink with my friends and it's a nice occasion, it's a celebratory occasion, and I want to be out and I'm not serving that Sunday, it's a Saturday night, and I want to have a glass or two of red wine. Is that okay? It's not drunkenness. First of all, let me say this. I think we would all agree that no one here is talking about if drunkenness is okay or not okay, right? We know very clearly the scriptures say that drunkards cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You all know that, right? And I'm not just picking on drunkards. Drunkards, idolaters, adulterers, I mean, the whole list, they cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I don't think the issue tonight or ever, if you really know the word, is drunkenness. I think the issue is the liberty to drink. Everybody with me? So somebody says to me tonight, maybe you're thinking right now in your head, I'm a servant, but I'm not serving that week. I'm not going to teach. I'm not going to church that morning. I'm out. It's a weekend. It's an off night, so to speak, which there should never be off nights in your Christianity. But it's an off night. And I want to have a drink. I'm celebrating. It's red wine. It's good for my heart. I just want to have a red wine with my steak. What do you think? Is that okay? I don't know, because Paul said in Romans chapter 14, verse 21, that I'm not to even stumble my brethren. So that then means this. I might not even, and this is happening as the church grows. I don't even know who my brethren is anymore. I don't know who half the people that go to this church, as best as I try to know everybody, I don't even know everybody anymore. So now all of a sudden, this happens to me at Tops, at Wegmans, at the mall. Somebody, hey, Pastor, I was at a great service Sunday. Who are you? Oh, I go to your church. Now all of a sudden, you might not even know. You're sitting there, you're laughing, you're having a good time, and the new believer who just got saved, who got delivered from being an alcoholic, he comes into the restaurant where you are, and he sees you at the door every week, or he drops his kid off to your class every week, and there you are laughing. It's your first glass, but they don't know that, and they just see you tipping it back. You just stumbled your brethren. Paul said, I can do whatever I feel is lawful. I'm under grace. But he also said, if it stumbles my brethren, then I am to not even eat meat. And that's a man that really loves God. I won't even have a cheeseburger. I'm not there yet. I'm good with not drinking the wine, but the cheeseburger, no way. No, I'm just kidding. But whatever it would be, if you want to have a glass of wine, I want to make sure I'm balanced here so that nobody leaves here ripped off or stumbled. You want to have a glass of wine or a beer for the taste or whatever in your home, and you don't have a conviction about it, you're good, your kids don't see you drunk, you're under control, that's fine. I'm not coming against you. You're just a Christian. You're what we call, who cares? You're just a person who doesn't serve. I was going to call you a pew warmer, but that's mean. I don't mean that. I'm just saying you don't serve, okay? You sit. There's nothing wrong with that. Honestly, there isn't. Sort of. That's another topic, though. No, there really isn't. Don't be condemned here tonight. You don't serve, and you feel like you have the liberty. I'm not coming against it. As long as you're not getting drunk, there's not an issue with that. I'm talking to the people who are serving the Lord. I'm talking to people. I personally have a conviction. I won't even take a sip. If I'm at a wedding and there's a toast made, I lift my water. Not because of what Paul wrote to Timothy either, and because I have to. It's my own convictions. And I believe that should be the conviction of every person in this church that's actively serving Jesus. Certainly my staff. We don't pay them as a church with the tithes and love offerings that God has put on your heart that you've entrusted us with to pay them to go out and buy booze. Don't drink wine. Don't get drunk. The reason being, verse 10, so that you might put difference between holy and unholy. and between unclean and clean. I don't want anything at all to influence your judgment except for the Holy Ghost. Don't put spirits within you. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Man, and that's me. I want to be as sharp as can be. I'm already a bonehead. I already have to read the text 150 times before I even come before you and teach you. I already wish, man, that I had more brain cells that weren't gone, and I wish that I was a better student and that I wasn't so, you know, attention deficit. I want to sit and learn and understand more and be more comprehensive and more clear and more decisive. I don't need a drink to hinder that. And neither do you, he says. It affects your judgment. It dulls your senses. You won't be as sharp. Your discernment will be off. If you're filled with unclean spirits, you won't be able to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want you to be able to teach, verse 11, the children of Israel, all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. It's for the sake of the next generation. It's for the sake of the youth. It's for those who are coming up. We need good examples. We need high priests and leaders and dads and moms in the home who will say, I am going to be holy for the Lord my God is holy. I'm going to be altogether different than what you see on TV and in the movies and at your friend's parents' house. I am going to be a representative of Jesus to you. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. I don't want to stumble you. And that includes your kids. Parents, there's a sharp exhortation to you tonight. Are you concerned with stumbling your children? Because that's your number one ministry. So Moses faithfully speaks these words, verse 12, wrapping this up, unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar, his sons that were left. God's not done with them. God's, by his grace, he's still going to use Aaron's family. That's what makes grace amazing, that he uses wretches. People want to take the wretch part out of the amazing grace song. You can't do that. That's what makes grace amazing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Take the meat offering that remaineth, middle of verse 12, of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, and eat it without leaven beside the altar, for it is most holy. And you shall eat it in the holy place, because it is thy due, and your son's due, of the sacrifice of the Lord made by fire, for so I am commanded. And in verse 14, The wave breasts and the heave shoulder shall you eat in the clean place, you and your sons and your daughters with thee, for they be thy due and thy sons' due, which are given out of the sacrifices of peace offerings of the children of Israel. And the heave, verse 15, shoulder and the wave breast shall they bring with the offerings made by fire of the fat to wave it for a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be thine and thy sons with thee by a statute forever as the Lord's commanded. Now listen, I'm not just flying because time's out. I'm going through these verses here because this is just the conclusion of this scene, okay? So don't feel like I'm ripping you off of application here. We're bringing it to a close. So Moses, verse 16, he diligently sought the goat of the sin offering. That's what a good shepherd does. He takes what the Lord said. He obeys the Lord and the Lord's commands, and he seeks to protect the people. He gives them the commandments of God. And behold, it was burnt, and he was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, the sons of Aaron, which were left alive, saying, verse 17, wherefore have you not eaten the sin offering in the holy place, seeing it is most holy, and God has given it to you to bear the iniquity of the congregation, to make atonement for them before the Lord? Behold, the blood of it was not brought in within the holy place. You should indeed have eaten it in the holy place, as I commanded. And Aaron said, verse 19, unto Moses, behold, this day have they offered their sin offering and their burnt offering before the Lord, and such things have befallen me. And if I had eaten the sin offering today, should it have been accepted in the sight of the Lord? What he's saying here is, I couldn't see how God would accept it. And when Moses heard that, this is where we'll end, he was content. Worship team, if you'd come up to lead us in a last song. Church, if I could leave you with this thought. Here Aaron is. Moses is ticked. You guys didn't obey. Did you not just see what happened to Aaron's eldest boys? We can't be playing these games, guys. Did you not just see what happened? You did not eat of the sacrifice the way that you were supposed to. You have not done what God has prescribed. What's the deal? And Aaron said, honestly, bro. He said, here's the situation I couldn't see, I couldn't come to grips with, I couldn't come to the understanding of how God could accept me partaking of this offering of praise, this sacrifice, when everything that just had taken place with my boys dying and the taintedness of their sin in the ministry, I was condemned, is what he's saying. I was beat up. I was ripped off. And Moses, a good shepherd, says, I get you. I understand. And there was grace there. And that's the heart of God. You see, that's the heart of God. He never wants you to leave his presence condemned. That's how we end the chapter. Moses rested content. Next week, we'll deal with the holiness of the congregation and the dietary laws, and we'll talk more about the importance of holiness among the church next week's study. But you see how we ended that chapter? I don't want you to miss this here, because it's really quick if you don't pay careful attention, if you're not detailed. Moses, God's man, God's representative, rested content when Aaron just was honest and said, hey, listen, I wasn't going to just go through the motions here. I wasn't feeling it. In fact, I was feeling contrary. I was feeling ripped off and beat up and unworthy and wretched. So instead, I didn't do that what I would normally do because I didn't want it to be routine. I like that. And Moses was cool with that. You see, that's how it works. God loves to lift up the hands that are hanging down, doesn't he? We had that on my office right before we came out tonight. He loves to lift up the feeble. He loves to lift our heads to look to where our help comes from. He loves to encourage us. He loves to exhort us. God's imperfect man here, God's imperfect representative, Moses, his leader, who has a heart like the Lord, not perfect like the Lord's, but like the Lord's, he says, I appreciate that. I understand that. I respect that. And there's grace. God has such amazing grace for you tonight. God is so about you tonight. God is so about seeing you leave here strengthened and encouraged. You should never leave here. Man, what a loser I am. That's Satan. You should never leave here like, man, I blew it. I didn't serve. What a jerk. I should have done it. Moses is right. No. God says, I see your heart's hurting right now. You just lost your boys. You just saw your sons be consumed by fire. You just saw them be ousted from the camp of Israel, from the presence of God. You just saw this whole thing. It's okay. I just appreciate that. I don't know, maybe for you it did nothing. For me, it did a lot. I just appreciate God's tender, loving care. His compassion that fails not. His mercies that are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let blood and water hit the ground.